Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Learning on Sha'arei. Hope everybody is well and had a meaningful and uplifting Yom Tov of Purim and a meaningful Shushan Purim as well. We are able to tap into the koach of these holy days of Yeshua and Kimu V'Kiblu, reacceptance of Torah, and our commitment to the Ribono Sha'olam. I heard a beautiful var a number of years ago at the Why You Reach Shavuos Yarchei Kala by Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Weinberger. Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Weinberg from New Jersey, he said a very nice svar. He was quoting the Yalku Me'am Lois when the Pasuk tells us at the end of the Megillah, V'rabim me'ame ha'arts misyahadim ki nafal pachar ha'yehudim aleihem. The Megillah tells us at the end of the story, V'rabim me'ame ha'arts, many of the nations of the land, misyahadim, were converting. They were coming back to Judaism, ki nafal pachar ha'yehudim aleihem, because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. He said something very interesting from the Yalku Me'am Lois. The Ame Ha'aretz were referring to the unlearned, unlettered, unaffiliated Jews, a term that we give to Jews who are unconnected to Torah, who are unlearned, is Ame Ha'aretz. The Rabbi Me Ame Ha'aretz Misyahadi means many of the Jews who were disconnected from the Ribbono Shel Olam, disconnected from Torah, far away from mitzvos, misyahadim, came back. They were chozrim b'teshuva, ki nafal pachar yehudim aleihem. So it's not just a Yom Tov where Umas Ha'olam received what was coming to them, but it's a Yom Tov when the Jews re-accepted upon themselves, Shabbos Peichas, Amar Aleph, re-accepted upon themselves the dveikus and their commitment to Torah. And that's what we should take out of Purim. Besides the fact that Yad Hashem is always there to save us, we should take out of Purim a recommitment to Torah. So we are learning as always the Zeich Nishmasam, the Yilu Nishmasam, Miriam Frod, Miriam Vaschaim Yitzhak Allah HaShalom, Miriam Vaschaim the continuous Zuchus Aliyah Latova and Zechira Latova and the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. We thank the Frod family very much for their stellar, unwavering, amazing commitment to these Divrei Torah, the Zeich Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. Calendar announcement, important calendar announcement. Shari will send out an email as well. However, next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, March the 15th, there is no shir. And then the 22nd, since I will be traveling back from out of town that day, it will be Zoom only. Okay? So the Shari office knows, and it'll be included in the emails, and I'll post it on the chat as well. But please mark your calendar so there's no confusion. March 15th, there is no shir. March 22nd will be Zoom only. March 29th, but Be'ezrat Hashem, we should all be well. We'll be in person and on Zoom, and then we break for Yom Tov. Okay, so we have tonight, and then we'll meet again on the 22nd, Be'ezrat Hashem via Zoom. Okay, let's get into our learning. So we are up to the chapter called Contemplation. We're going to Tefillah. And the last two, by the way, just change of location, Rabbi Orlean reached out to me earlier today. He asked that we meet in here now. That's why we're here. So we'll be from now on in this room. Because the basement just was being used. It was renovated for those who have chavrusa in the evening. Rabbi Orlean asked that we switch. So that's why we're here. No, I know you don't. I'm just telling you that when you come, Be'ezrat Hashem, this is where we are going to be meeting until further notice. Okay, contemplation, we're going to Tefillah. So we are up to the section on Tefillah. Last time we did a beautiful, beautiful Midrash Esther Rabbah, if you remember, about the Tefillahs of Mordechai, the cries of the children, and the Tefillah of Esther Hamalka related to Inyan HaDiyomah. So I'm going to start with a story related to Tefillah. Okay, don't laugh. This has been in my Sefer, which I was so... The binding has now totally fallen off. It was hanging by a thread, now it's totally fallen off. It's really, I'm going to need soon a... rubber band to hold it together. Can I inhar? I shouldn't even say that. After 120 years, it should bring schuyos to all of us. This has been in this sefer, going ahead from page to page. You want to know the date on what I'm going to read to you? 1 Sivan. How's that possible? I thought it was 2022. 1 Sivan 5781. Then I stopped. I thought it was from 2022. The English date is May 12, 2021. Okay, I'm going to read the story now because it's been in my sefer for a very long time, waiting to be read, and it's about Tefillah. So we are on contemplation going to Tefillah. So therefore, I'm going to share this story with you. It's from Mishpacha Magazine, 1 Sivan 5781. We are currently in Oral Yom Tazayin Adar 5783. It's all in a name, Decorah, Iowa, 2020. So at the time this was submitted, it was only a year before. Decorah, like you know the name Deborah? So this is Decorah, D-E-C-O-R-H, Iowa. It's a place. miles from anywhere. A shechita plant on an endless rolling farm. Decorah, Iowa is so far flung and out of the way that the flights from New York do not D-E-I-G-N to come by. It has its own little hopper airport for small connecting flights. Every so often, I come by this remote place to do shechita. The manager of the plant, Chesky Yecheskel, is a friend. On a dreary COVID day, stuck indoors for weeks, I received a phone call. It's Chesky from the shechita plant. Chesky. The real name is Yecheskel, from the shechita plant. This couldn't be about work because it was during COVID. No one was going anywhere. I hadn't left my home in months to go to shul, let alone take a cross-country flight. No, it's not about work. Chesky wants to tell me a story. There was a kiddush last week Shabbos in a shul in Hicktown, Chicago. Some fight, is that a real town or it's just like a pseudonym for like a Hicktown? It's a pseudonym? Some 5 hours from Decorah, Iowa. A man who is very loosely affiliated celebrated the birth of a baby daughter. They held the ceremony and the guy announced the name. So this Chesky from the manager of the plant in Decorah, Iowa caused the mashgiach to tell him the story. And they announced the name, Decorah. So the other men said to him, do you mean Deborah? No, no, he smiled, Decorah, like the airport in Iowa. You are naming your baby for an airport in Iowa? Yes, he said simply. About a year ago, this is a man who's very loosely affiliated. I happened to travel from Decorah Airport, and I met an angel at the gate. Is everyone muted? Yeah. I met an angel at the gate. I was waiting at the gate, and this older man, a chassid, who was sitting there, was davening shacharit and putting on tefillin. I asked if he was a rabbi. We got to talking. The man was insistent that I put on tefillin, so I did. There was something about it. Amid flight announcements and coffee, a stranger's pair of tefillin drawing me back to the first and only time I have ever put on tefillin in my life, which was at my bar mitzvah. The man told me to pray. He told me, write on the moment and think about your deepest wish. People were milling about us. The first boarding call was announced, but I closed my eyes. I thought about how much we would love to have a child. We were hoping to start a family, Hannah and it had been some time. When I finished praying, I told the chassid of my wish. He took my hand and he blessed me. We boarded the flight. I lost sight of him. I got on with my business. He got on with his. Apparently, he's in the business of blessings. Where wouldn't you know it, but shortly afterward, we found out we were going to be parents. That's why we're calling her Decorah, because of the blessing I received from the man at the Decorah airport. I gasped on the phone, and Chesky continued. That's what he told this congregation on Shabbos over schnapps and herring. They refrained from telling him that Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah might be a better choice. If he wanted Decorah, that was his prerogative. But the Chabad Shaliach in the Chicago shul called me right after Shabbos because he reckoned that any Jew in the airport in Decorah must have been a shochet in our plant. So I wanted to tell you about it, if you might know which man it was. 1,100 miles away, I tear up and I start to chuckle into the phone. Chaste Hashem, I was the shochet. I had all but forgotten about the incident that happened a year prior. It was just another morning. It was just something I knew I had to do. I often come early to the airport so I can daven on the ground before the flight. I had the chance to put on tefillin for a yid. A few times it happened. I doubted I even told anyone about the encounter with that Jew in Decorah. Sometimes I told my family at a long summer suda shlishis, you get a glimpse. But it's not about me. It's about that unaffiliated Jew and what happened for him and his family. Mostly, I'm hoping that one day a little girl with a strange name will want to know why. Okay, so after almost 2 years, Baruch Hashem, the time came for me to read the story. Contemplation when going to tefillah. That is where. Sorry. Not on purpose. That is where we are up to. Comment? Joanna Blumenthal said, a sitter that's falling apart belongs to someone who isn't. I would think it's the same for an Amunah Sefer. Okay, contemplation when going to tefillah. We'll provide some more examples. Remember, because the chapter before this, it's page 268. Rivka Kresher, page 268. Okay. Before this, it was contemplation when eating. Okay, we just had Purim, now we're having Pesach. But fine. Lemaisa, we should try and have contemplation when eating. Also, you should try and have contemplation when you daven. They'll provide some more examples. You might sit and you might think, do I want to daven in the morning or not? The answer is not so simple. My laziness makes me desire to stay in bed. It's pleasant here, it's comfortable, but my inner ratzon, my inner desires, I want to pray to Hashem, daven. Why? On a simple level, I'm afraid of punishment. There's a rabbinic requirement to daven in the morning, so I'm afraid if I don't daven, what's going to happen when I get up there? I'm going to be in big trouble. There's a deeper ratzon than the first, because the desire to stay in bed serves momentary gratification, while the fear of punishment is a deeper, far-reaching concern. But it is not the deepest ratzon. So we have momentary gratification, stay in bed. Then you have a deeper ratzon which says, wait a minute, I don't want to be punished when I get up there. So there's a battle between the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara. There's another reason for davening. I want to take care of my worldly needs. A tefillah is a way for me to take care of my worldly needs. It's a way for me to get what I need and get what I want by praying. And this way, I'm using something spiritual to obtain a physical need. I thought that it was interesting. We have by Yam Suf, right, that the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Bishalach, Perek Yud Dalet of the book of Shemos, that the Israelites have just left Egypt. Okay, Yam Suf happens on Shvi Shal Pesach. Paro catches up with them. The whole night the wind is blowing, the sea splits. They cross through on damp land, coming up to Pesach. We talk about on Leil HaSeder, it's one of the miracles. We talk about how many Malkos there were. By Kriyas Yam Suf, we celebrate on Shvi Shal Pesach. So what happens when they come to the Yam Suf? So the Pasuk tells us, Uparu hikriv, Paru brought himself close. Vayishu b'nei Yisrael es einehim, the children of Israel lifted their eyes. V'hinei Mitzrayim, no se'achareim. And behold, Mitzrayim is chasing after them. Vayiru ma'od, they were very afraid. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, the children of Israel called out to Hashem. So the question is, were they just screaming or were they actually davening? So the Mepharshim differ if they were just screaming or if they're actually davening. But Rashi says, what does it mean? Which we just saw in the Megillah. We just read the Megillah, Leil Purim, and then Purim Day, Purim Morning. Mordechai Yadash called Asher Nasa. Ayil Bash Sak Ve'efer, Vayeti Besochair, Vayizak Se'aka Gedola Umar. Mordechai let out this great and bitter outcry. Mordechai prayed, Mordechai David. We spoke last week about the tefillah of Mordechai and the tefillah of Esther from Medrash Esther Rabbah. La'yitz'aku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. So what do they do? They're literally caught between a rock and a hard place. They're caught between the ocean here and the Egyptian nation there. So Rashi says, Tafsu umanus avosam. What does it mean that they called out? They grabbed the craft of their forefathers. What was the craft of their forefathers? By Avram, who Omar al-Makam Asher Amad, Shamas Pnei Hashem. By Avram, it says 1927. That Avram, not in 1927. Perak Yud Tes Pasuchav Zayin Barishas. By Ashkim Avram Baboker, al-Makam Asher Amad, Shamas Pnei Hashem, says the Gemara, Ein Amida al-Alashon Tefillah. So Rashi tells us, quoting the three places where Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were misaking the Tefillos, that what did the Bnei Yisrael do by Yam Suf? They called out to Hashem. It was a time of emergency. I don't know if they were machshiv, which is the outer ratzon, and which is the inner ratzon, and which is the toelas, and which is shalol, Hashem, Shemayim, and Maisa. They're about to be either killed or drowned. And they called out to Hashem, Tafsu umnas avosim. They grabbed the craft of the forefathers. Like by Avram, it says, Al-Makam Asher Amacham Espinei Hashem. Rashi says, what does it say? By Yitzchak, 24:63, and Bereishis, Vayetzi Yitzchak l'suach basada lifnos er, Vayisa eina, Vayar v'hineg malim bayim. Yitzchak goes out, and he establishes the mincha prayer. And finally, by Yaakov, 28:11, Vayivka b'makom, Vayalan sham ki ba ha-shamesh, Vayikach me'avnei makom, Vayasam rosh asav. Yaakov is mesaken arvis tefila. So you see that when a person is in a time of emergency, the automatic tool, the place that we turn, we truly recognize Ein lanu amila hisha'ein ala alavinu shebashamayim. There are times in our lives when you feel like you are facing the rage, maybe not, I hope not, but there are times in a person's life when they feel like, okay, the proverbial Yam Suf is here and the Egyptians are here, and al pi teva, you do not see through your own hishtadus any way to help or to change the situation. And that is when a person cast your burden, your lot upon God, and you say, well, you have to sustain me, you have to provide for me. And this is what the Bnei Yisrael did by Yam Suf. They realized that there was nothing else to do. Interestingly, what's interesting is that they daven. And what did Moshe do? Moshe also daven. But what did Hashem say to Moshe? Oh, lama titzak elai. Why are you calling out to me? So Targum Unka says, kabot zelosech, your tefillos have been accepted. But the Gemara says, I believe Sota lama zayin, the Gemara says that Hashem said to Moshe, stop davening. What are you davening for? So they were allowed to daven, but he is the man and get to do something else. So Moshe said, what should I do? So Hashem said, Matitake, I stopped davening already. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. What you should do is speak to the children of Israel and they shall journey forth. It's time for Shtal to stress your hand over the mata, over the sea. V'yibaku hamayim, the waters will split, and the b'nei Yisrael will go through on deep land. So there does have to be a balance between tefillah and hishtadus. I mean, the world in which we live, we have to do our hishtadus. A person has to do their hishtadus, but their physical effort, their concrete effort to affect change and to help themselves. But everything we do must be coupled with, everything we do has to be coupled with the power of tefillah. Okay, going back to the sefer. So you want to stay in bed. That's one ratzon. Another ratzon, you're afraid of punishment. That's another ratzon. You imagine what's going to be in the Olam HaEmes. So it's a very scary thought. It's going to be much worse than I think it is. And then I'm going to be in big trouble. So now I'm going to get out of bed. And there's another ratzon. Okay, I can't do anything physical without God. So therefore, I am going to pray to Hashem. In this manner, you will go through various stages of superficial desire until you reach your inner point. What's your inner point? The inner point is, what does la misa mean? What did I say, Nancy? La misa? La misa? Nancy, where are you? Is that what I said? I don't see her. Are you asking la misa? What does la misa mean? How do I translate? The reality. It is. This is what it is. La misa.
In actuality.
What?
In actuality.
In actuality. Yeah. In actuality. Fine. Who just told me about two people, they said to me, they're talking yeshivish. I don't understand anything they're saying. Some must have been somewhere over Perm. I was in so many places, but Lamaisa, in actuality, that's a good way of saying it. Okay, fine. Okay, thank you. Nancy says thank you. Okay. So you have to reach your inner point. The inner point is, it's the will of Hashem that I'm supposed to daven. Ritzoneinu la'asot ritzoncha. It's my will to do your will. So if you want me to daven, and I'm your child, and you are my father, and I want to please my father, and you are also the king, and I am your subject, then I have to do the will of the king. My neshama, my soul, has a true inner force of our will is to do your will. Since you want me to daven, there must be such a ratzon in my neshama. Even if I don't feel it, there has to be this desire in my neshama that wants me to daven. But I only know this in my mind. It's not yet apparent in my heart. So even though you might know something up here, v'yadata hayom, you know it today, you have the da'as, the de'a, the knowledge to know, v'hashevosa alevavacha, the problem is that you have to, not problem, the journey is that you have to take what you know in your mind, your da'as, and transfer it to your emotions, your deep inner self. And sometimes that is not so easy. I want to quote Rabbi Salvechik on tefillah. It's so beautiful. This is a piece from the Sefer Worship of the Heart. Okay? Listen carefully. Very, very deep and very, very beautiful piece of the Rav. The very essence of tefillah. And tefillah is something, the very essence of tefillah, four words, I'm interrupting him. The tefillah is something that we do every single day, and we really do it all the time, whether it's the formal structure of prayer when your siddur's open, sha'achas mincha and arvis, or it's the tehillim we say during the day, or it's just, not just, it's talking to God throughout the day. So if we are mindful, then the truth is we should be talking to Hashem a lot during the day because we need to ask for help with everything. The very essence of tefillah, says Rav Salvechik, expresses itself in a romance rather than a disciplined action, in a great passionate yearning. You should have a great passionate yearning to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam, rather than in a limited called achievement. How should you feel when you daven? You should. It's a romance. What does that mean? It doesn't mean what society thinks. It means Ahavas Hashem. What do we say every day in the Shema? What are we commanded to do? Devarim 6:5. The Ahavta is Hashem Elokecha. B'chol avavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol medecha. You are to love the Lord God with your entire essence, with every aspect, with every fiber of your being. In fact, the Rambam, I think it's in Hilchos Yesodei Torah, describes a person should be lovesick with love for Hashem, like a person is lovesick, a man is lovesick for his woman. That's what the Rambam uses, that analogy. Should be filled with a burning desire for Ratzon Hashem. The very essence of tefillah, therefore, should express itself in a romance, the ahavta, rather than in a disciplined action. In a great passionate yearning, we should have a great and passionate yearning to be close to Hashem, rather than in a limited called achievement. It is a movement of the soul, rather than performance of the lips, rather than performance of the lips. So yes, it's Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tehillasecha, Tehillim Nun Aleph. Hashem, open my lips, so my mouth shall say your praise, but tefillah should not remain on the level of the lips. What does Chazal say about tefillah? You all know, we say it many times. Ezehi avodah she believe, have omer zohi tefillah. What is service of the heart? Prayer. They don't say prayer service of the lips. They say prayer service of the heart. So again, tefillah is a movement of the soul, S-O-U-L, rather than performance of the lips. It is an awareness rather than an action. You should be aware of God. It's not just the action of three steps back and three steps forward. I'm bowing now and standing up now. I'm going to the right, left, and right, and forward. It has to be an awareness. And that's really, by the way, what our author is talking about, contemplation when going to tefillah. In an inner longing rather than a tangible performance. Tefillah is silence rather than loud speech. I'm going to repeat it again and try not to interrupt him now that I clarified and commented. The very essence of tefillah expresses itself in a romance rather than a disciplined action, in a great passionate yearning rather than a limited cold achievement, in a movement of the soul rather than a performance of the lips, in awareness rather than action, in an inner longing rather than in a tangible performance. Tefillah is silence rather than loud speech. It is an inner movement. It is an inner experience. And that's exactly what the Mechaber is saying. My neshama has a true inner force. You don't have to scream to daven. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes the most powerful prayers are the ones that where you are silence. Ulucha dumia tehillah. And to you, God, silence is praise. Certainly, now, the Rav clarifies, this does not mean, and you should not leave shir to say, oh, well, now I could just be a Jew in my heart and I don't have to have any of the disciplined action. That's dangerous. No. Certainly, one who does not correlate the experience with an objective symbol. So you have to have the emotive, emotional, soul-level experience of prayer, but it must correlate with an objective symbol. So what's an objective symbol? For men, it's the laying of the tefillah. For you, it's picking up the sitter. It's knowing when to take the steps back, when not to stand, when to sit, when to clap your heart. So yes, you must correlate the experience with an objective symbol. In this case, the recital of words. If you don't say the words, says Rav, you're missing his duty. So you can't say, oh, I'm davening my heart the whole day, so I don't need to pick up the sitter and daven. That's not correct. You will be remiss in your duty. Yes? Clear? You have to go through the objective symbol, the recital of the words. However, the external act of tefillah is a formal side of the full state of mind. Otherwise, Chazal would call tefillah avodah shebeguf. They would call tefillah avodah shebemoch, avodah shebeyadayim, avodah shebesfatayim. That's not what they call tefillah. They call tefillah an avodah of the lev. So the external act is a formal side of the full state of mind. Tefillah really occurs in the innermost recesses of a person. A person must turn away from the externals and from physical efforts. The individual must be captivated by a great vision of the impressive and wondrous. Who is the impressive and the wondrous? The Almighty. The inner activity, the inward look, the attention that goes to the unseen. In brief, avoda shebelev, which ceremony and decorum seem to hinder. Why is that so powerful? Avoda shebelev, which ceremony and decorum seem to hinder.
Because people tend to focus on the ceremony and forget that there's actually supposed to be...
Especially in temples, those that are far removed from Torah true Judaism, there's much more of a focus on what?
Ceremony.
Singing, yeah. Choir, yeah. Songs, yeah. Harps, piano. It's about ceremony rather than what is really tefillah, the avodah shebelev. This is the essence of prayer, says Rav. So now I'm going to try and repeat the paragraph again. You have to listen carefully. The very essence of tefillah expresses itself in a romance rather than a disciplined action, in a great passionate yearning rather than a limited cold achievement, in a movement of the soul rather than in performance of the lips, in awareness rather than mere action, in an inner longing rather than tangible performance, in silence rather than loud speech. Certainly, one who does not correlate the experience with an objective symbol, in this case, the recital of the words, is remiss in his duty. So if you do not go through the objective symbols, you are remiss. So it's not enough to say I'm a Jew in heart because I feel it in my neshama. So nobody should take that this is a haskama to stop davening because you're davening inside. That's not true. However, the external act is clearly a side, a formal side of the full state of mind. And again, we proved it, because if Chazal wanted to tell you that tefillah depends on the lips, they would call it avodah shebisvatayim, avodah shebiyadayim, avodah shebe, I don't know, zroah, because of the tefillin, or the lips. That's not what they call it. It's avodah shebelief. The latter turns away from the externals and from physical efforts. The individual is captivated by a great vision of the supremely impressive and the wondrous. I was just thinking of something that Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky writes in one of his 90s farm. I think it's called Chassidim, what they said and what they meant. It's a small little sefer that he has. And he has a very powerful insight there where this week's Parsha, Kitisa, Moshe ascends back up to the top of the mountain for the second giving of the Luchos, goes back up to the top of the mountain. And when Moshe goes up to Shemayim, we are told that he has to traverse through three levels. Choshach, Anan, V'arafa. When Moshe goes up to the top of Har Sinai, after the Ten Commandments, Aseres HaDibros, and now he's going to go up. That's only 10 of the mitzvos. There are 613. So he has to go up for 40 days and 40 nights and learn all the rest of what's going on in the Torah and the Halacha. So he has to go through three levels of darkness. Choshech is darkness, Anan is cloud, and Arafel is like a thick fog. So Dr. Tursky says, and I do not remember which Hasidic rabbi he quotes, that parallels the three steps we take when we daven. The Choshech, Anan, and Arafel. That's oftentimes to find the Ribbon Shalom, to commune with God, to meet the Ribbon Shalom, we need to move through in our personal lives and certainly in our national lives. We just had Purim. The plan was for total annihilation. A Jew has to move through Choshech, darkness, Anan, a cloud, a Rafael, a thick fog. And right there is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Afilus behisteria, shebetoch hahisteria, gam sham nimtza Hashem Yisbarach. Even in the most hidden of the most hidden parts, that's where the Ribbono Shel Olam is found. I was just thinking about the other day, maybe last week, and I was taking my three steps back and three steps forward, that a person has to go through Choshech, Anan, and Arafel in order to find the Ribbono Shel Olam. Going back to the Rav, the inner activity, free from reaching out for external accomplishment, the inward look, which does not call for outward deeds, inner look, which is not called for outward deeds. The attention that goes entirely to the unseen. You must pay attention to what nobody else sees. No one else sees what's going on inside of you during prayer. No one sees your lave. No one sees your emotions. Everyone looks like they're saying the exact same thing. There has to be attention to the unseen. And it must be indifferent to the outer show. In brief, it is avodah shebelev, which ceremony and decorum seem to hinder. And that's very, very powerful, because as people tend to be less and less and less affiliated, ceremony and decorum tend to take a much larger role, and the avodah shebelev seems to be diminished greatly. This is the essence of prayer. And a person has to know that, therefore, the essence of prayer occurs where? Deep decorum. I said the word wrong?
No.
I don't know why the comment was decorum. Maybe I said the word wrong. And it's not supposed to tie into the first thing, which was called decora. Okay, not on purpose. And so that is really the essence of prayer. And every time we daven, that's what the experience is supposed to be. The external is a tool to help us reach the internal state. It should not be seen as the main part of tefillah, because otherwise Chazal would call it avodah shebiyadayim. Let's go back to the sefer. And again, that's what the Mechaber just said. Since you want me to daven, there must be such a ratzon in my neshama. If you want me to daven, there must be this desire in my soul, but I only know it in my mind. It's not yet appearing in my heart. This is what you should do. Shanai is going to give us advice, our author. What should you do? When you wake up and plan to daven, you should not go without thinking. You should turn to Hashem and say, Master of the world. Remember, Chassidim of old, the Gemara tells us, Chassidim, the pious of old, used to spend an hour preparing for tefillah. So today I'm going to venture to say that none of us, maybe you do, I don't know, have an error to, I highly doubt it, based on the world in which we live and how pressured and pressed for time everyone is with all the things we need to take care of. We don't have an hour, but maybe we have 1 minute. 1 minute to prepare. Maybe you have 5 minutes. Maybe you have 10 minutes. What should you say? Master of the world, I'm going to daven before you because I want to. But why do I want to? Enumerate the reasons before Hashem until you eventually reach the true inner reason. So go through all the reasons. I'm afraid of punishment in Gehenna. I need refuah shleima for this person. And shidduch for this person. And parnasa for this person. And shalom bayis for this person. And geula for Klal Yisrael. And at Samach Dorva Avdecha, the ultimate shalom for Yerushalayim Ir Kodesh. But then at some point you should get to the inner Ratzon, which is the recognition that I am a servant of Hashem and I want to please you. And that's why I want to daven, because you want me to daven. I am certain that I really want to please you. I believe that I have such a Ratzon deep down, even though I don't feel it. Rabbi Zavlev gives a very interesting mashal to help us understand. Rabbi Zavlev gives a very interesting mashal to help us understand. I don't want to say how prayer works, but when he gives this mashal, he says, do we have the ability to change Hashem's mind? What does that mean? Like, does tefillah change Hashem? Or does tefillah change us? And if tefillah changes us, how does that change the shefa that comes down from Shemayim? So he gives a very interesting mashal. He says, let's say a person is gravely ill. Okay? This is a mashal. A person is gravely ill. And he goes to the doctor. And the doctor says, you're very ill. You need to do a very drastic, life-saving surgery. It's very invasive. It's very painful. The recovery is very difficult, but we don't have a choice. So the person doesn't want that surgery. It's very hard surgery. So he says to the doctor, is there anything I could do to avoid this very difficult operation? The doctor says, yes, you know, if you start exercising twice a week, and once a week eat a salad for lunch, then maybe instead of McDonald's, then Rabbi Zavlev didn't say that, but he said, if you start exercising a little bit and you start eating healthier, then maybe we'll be able to avoid the surgery. Let's try it if you absolutely prepare it and then come back to me. So the guy does this, exercises twice a week, and once a week, twice a week, three times a week, he eats a salad with a low-fat protein for lunch, and he comes to the doctor, and the doctor says, wow, you know, it's not as grave anymore, I see, to treat your medical condition. You don't need this terrible invasive surgery. You need a bitter pill. It's a bitter pill, but it's not the surgery. So the guy says, that's wonderful, but let me ask you, is there any other treatment option available? Doctor says, yes, if you change yourself even more, there's a sweet pill, but right now you're not holding by there. Right now you're by the bitter pill. He says, what do I need to do? So he says, you need to exercise 5 days a week. You need to call out all white refined flour and artificial sweeteners, X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C, the whole deal. He goes home. He says, I'm prepared. He comes back in 2 months. And the doctor says, you could have the sweet medicine. What's the nimshal? Even if we don't understand how, where we fall on the spectrum of the ill person, but Rabbi Zavlev said, tefillah does not change the Ribbono Shel Olam. How could one mortal man change the infinite Ein Sof? But it changes us. Through tefillah, we become spiritually healthier. And when a person becomes spiritually healthier, the treatment changes. It's not that the tefillah changes God. One small, minute, here today, gone tomorrow, mortal cannot change your Ribbono Shel Olam. But I can change myself. When I change myself, all of a sudden the treatment that I need for my spiritual ailments changes. I get a little better, and now you don't need such a patch as the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then I get a little spiritually strong, and now the Ribbono Shel Olam says, oh, you could have the sweet pill. I thought it was such a beautiful mashal for helping us understand a little bit the koach of tefillah. And many, many, I was just reading Rabbi Victor Miller, the Kunshas for Purim. Rabbi Victor Miller's Kunshas for Purim was all about tefillah. I don't know if anyone else saw it. Yes, no, my son brought it home for me from yeshiva. No. It was all about tefillah, because we spoke about Mordechai and Esther in there too, so the whole thing was about tefillah. So I didn't bring it with me, I have it at home, but he speaks about the same thing that everybody speaks about, that the real essence of tefillah is not getting what you want, it's to change yourself. And when you change yourself, you become closer to Ribono Shel Olam. And once you spiritually change yourself to add that to Rabbi Zelbaf and come closer to Ribono Shel Olam, then the medicine that you need changes. Okay, let's go on. Contemplation when approaching Torah study. Ah, gewaldig. During your hour of contemplation, so before you study Torah, you shouldn't just say, Lasok b'divrei Torah, Hamalami Torah la'amo Yisrael. No, you should have an hour of contemplation. You should also consider if you want to learn Torah. You should ask yourself, do I want to learn Torah or not? Baruch Hashem. The answer to this is not definite. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. This is a little hard for me to relate to. I'm just being honest. Like, yeah, on Hanukkah, I really do want to have a custard donut. And at the Purim Suda, I really do want to have dessert, even if I'm full. For me, dessert doesn't have anything to do with fullness, but I try and be mindful. But Baruch Hashem, Asuk B'Divrei Torah. But anyway, let's go. Let's say, I would say that the participants of the Shaar Yishir do want to learn Torah. But during your hour of contemplation, you should ask yourself if you want to learn Torah. Ask yourself, do I want to learn Torah or not? The answer to this too might not be definite. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. When I don't, you should say, why don't I? There could be various reasons. You might be too lazy to exert your mind and your body. You might prefer to fulfill your desires elsewhere rather than learn Torah. In this way, you should clarify the reasons you do not want to learn. So what the Mechaber is doing here is going through a number of different real-life matzavim that we find ourselves in all the time. Eating, it's something relevant to our lives. No, literally all the time. If you don't eat, like the gas tank is on empty, so the car is going to die. So if a person, mamish, does not eat, rachman al-tzan, you have people who, unfortunately, with terrible eating disorders, which is a mental health issue, a person can mamish die. So what he's going through is going through different needs, physical and spiritual needs that we all have. And we have to examine the balance between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. Am I lazy? Am I tired? Do I want to fulfill my physical needs more than my spiritual needs? So eating, tefillah, and now he's up to Torah learning. I want to share with you Avar I heard last night on Purim. It's incredible. I shared on the share this morning also. I just loved it. So I'm Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov. Maybe some of you heard this before. I never heard it. I don't think. I don't remember hearing it. And I just... Who put this here? Who put this here? You put it here? In the middle of me speaking? I didn't see?
No, I brought it at the beginning and your eyes are closed. You're in deep...
Oh, you snuck up? Thank you so much. That's so nice. Tizki the mitzvos. Very nice. I didn't even see. Okay, thank you. So, oh my gosh, you have to hear this. So, it really relates to all of these areas. Eating, prayer, Torah learning, anything in Avodas Hashem. I'm going to say it first, and then I'm going to explain. It blew me out of the water. Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov says, what the Yetzer Hara tells you before sin, the Yetzer Tov tells you after sin. And what the Yetzer Tov tells you before sin, the Yetzer Hara tells you after sin. Okay, let's understand. Let's say the easiest example is you want to talk Lashon Hara. Okay, whatever. Put in any sin. You want to watch an R-rated, X-rated movie. Read a Shmutz Nava. I don't know, whatever. Scream at your kid. Eat Basar B'chalav. Whatever. You want to do an Aveira. Some Aveira. Okay? The Yetzer Tov tells you before the sin. How could you do that? You know what one sin does? One sin causes distance between you and the Ribono Shel Olam. I could bring you many examples of that from Chumash. In each case, the greatest consequence of sin is distance between us and Hashem. So before you sin, the Yetzer Hara says, don't do it, don't be an idiot, don't do the sin, you're going to put distance between you and God. Warning, stop, caution, sharp curve ahead. Don't do it. And the Yetzer Hara says, one sin, you could still be close to Hashem. It's fine. He'll overlook it. Just enjoy the juicy Lashon Hara. Just enjoy the cheeseburger. Just enjoy the R-rated movie. God doesn't care. Yetzer Tov is screaming, stop, caution, don't do it. It's going to separate you from Hashem. And the Yetzer is saying, don't worry, he doesn't care. He's not so medaktik. The Torah didn't really mean that. You could do it. And you do the sin. Remember that you're a weak. And you do the sin. What does the Yetzer Hara tell you? What does the Yetzer Hara tell you after you sin? You don't have a Yetzer Hara inside of you? How could you do that? What were you thinking? What an idiot. Don't you know the Torah says you think Hashem wants anything to do with you now? You think God wants to hear your tefillos after you just yelled at your kid? You think Hashem wants you to dava mincha after you spoke Lashon Hara on the phone? Now Hashem doesn't want anything to do with you. Who does that after the sin? The Yetzer Hara, because what's he doing? Making you feel bad, making you feel like a shmata, making you feel like schmutz. Now you think Hashem wants to hear from you? One little sin, you ruined your whole connection with God. And the next thing you know, you're watching every R-rated movie and eating every piece of pork and wearing nothing tzniyos, because the Yetzer Hara told you it's all over. And what does the Yetzer Tov tell you after sin?
It's just one.
It's just one sin. What? It's just one. Hashem still loves you. He wants to be close to you. Don't worry. He knows you're a human being. This is one of the best, most profound insights into the human psyche and the mechanisms and working of the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara I've ever heard. Told over B'Shem Rabbi Nachum Bessel. This is so nice. The funniest part of the story is that I had no idea it was here. So I looked down and I saw there was a little water bottle and a cup. I'm like, how did this even get here? It didn't drop from Shemaya. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehal Kol Nehiyah B'Dvaro. Thank you. Very much. Let's go again. Rabbi Nachman Bessel teaches that the tactic of the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer is really the exact same. The only thing is it depends if it's before sin or if it's after sin. What the Yetzer Tov tells you before sin, the Yetzer Hara tells you after sin. What the Yetzer Hara tells you before sin, the Yetzer Tov tells you after sin. Before you sin, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, says, don't worry, one little sin, Hashem will still love you. You could talk Lashon Hara. He doesn't really care that much. It won't sever your connection with God. And the Yetzer Tov is screaming, don't do it, it's spiritual ruination. What a pure, your neshama tahora, shenasata be tahorahi. Don't do it. You have a pure soul. Don't separate yourself from God. And the Maisa were human beings. So it didn't work out exactly how we wanted and we sinned. Well, out comes the Yetzer Hara. And he says, what were you thinking? What an idiot. You think God wants anything to do with you now? You used bad language, you embarrassed somebody on WhatsApp chat, you screamed at your kid, you were rude to the cashier, you didn't make a bracha, you skipped mincha, now you think you want to hear your shachris the next day because you couldn't make 5 minutes for mincha in the middle of the day yesterday. One sin, look what you did. And the Yetzer Tov says, Shefala, Hashem understands you're a human being. He still wants to be close to you. He wants a connection. He knows what's hard. I forget which Chassidus Rabbi said. It's brought down my Sefer, an angel, I remember what Sefer. What's hard is not to be an angel. What's hard is to be a human being. Hashem understands you're a human being. Don't be so discouraged. It was only one sin. He still wants to be close to you. And you have to pick yourself up and come back to Hashem. Like Nancy said, Tzadik yipol sheva v'kam. Rishayim yikoshlu b'ra. The righteous fall 7 times, but every time they get up, you have to know when to listen to the Yetzer Tov. The tactic of the Yetzer, and really, they're both the same. The question is the placement of the argument, pre-sin or post. And it applies to every aspect of Avodas Hashem and all things in our lives. Eating, certainly tefillah. I don't have time for mincha. Okay, now the days are getting longer. There's more time. I'm so rushed. How do you think I have time for this? A person in the Maisa makes time for what's important for them. That's absolutely true. If something's important to you, you make time for it. If you don't make time for tefillah, I'm not your rabbi. If you have no time for tefillah at all, it means, I'm sorry to say that at some level, it's not important to you. You don't even have time for a few brachas hashachar. It's not important. You have time to go to the bathroom. You have time to put on makeup. You have time for other things. I'm not your rabbi. You discuss it. You have a heter. Fine. Lamaisa, most of us have a few minutes a day to connect to God. He has time for us. We have to recognize that the battle of the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, each one has their tactic, which is really one and the same. And the Yetzer Tov is there to encourage us, to remind us that even when, like Nancy said, you fall, you can always get up and come close to Hashem. We should be mindful in our eating, mindful in our davening, mindful in our Torah learning, mindful in our speech and everything we do to try and take what is in here, at the level of the Yadat Hayam, the Yediyah, down to our heart, what is here. We are learning the Zecher Nishmas Miriam Fud, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah, Shalom, and Hashem, have a continuous aliyah in the chus of these Divrei Torah. Public service announcement, because many of you were not here before, that there is no shir next week, March the 15th, and then March 22nd is Zoom only. I will post a reminder on the chat, and Shari will send out a message. Just, I'm asking you to please mark your calendar. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful